Gosh, it's so hard to go after Janet. I should have said, let me go first. I'm just kidding. But that was beautiful, Janet. Thank you so much. And hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie L., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I don't live in New Jersey or North Carolina. I actually live in California. And Janet and I always have this joke about the best coast versus the other coast. But I guess she's, I don't know if she's still on that coast. I don't know. I'm not good with geography. But yes, I'm in California, and please excuse me, I am a little bit under the weather. I've had a cold all week, so I'm just going to do the best I can. If my voice cracks, or if I sneeze in the middle, I apologize. And before I even start, I just have to say, because it helps me, first of all, I want to pray, God, please speak through me. Please show me what message you would like me to convey today. And I also want to say that God is the hero of my story, and the miracles that I have experienced in this program are a result of working these 12 steps and finding this amazing God who never gave up on me, even though I gave up on God along the way. I've been in OA for about 19 years. Wish I could say I had 19 years of being recovered, and that's just not my story. Though I will say, I do believe today that if I do these things to stay connected and continue to grow my spiritual life, I don't have to compulsively overeat again. I believe that 100% one day at a time. Because my experience is I've had periods of being recovered and I've had periods of relapse. And every time I have relapsed, it's because life got busy. I had other things to do. I started to forget that I'm powerless over food. I completely eroded my first step, right? Like I can trace it back to that. And I know today that if I continue to do this work, that I don't have to go back there. I'm about 3 years and almost within days of being 3 years and 10 months of being out of that relapse, I gained 110 pounds back. I was suicidal. And I wanted to die because that's where this disease takes me. This disease takes me to a place of, like I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but right now I'm really obsessed with Fear of the Walking Dead. And so I look at those zombies, right? And I can totally see myself, right? Just walking like against my will, putting food in my mouth and not being able to stop. And that's where this disease, that's what it's like for me to be in this disease, eating against my will. And I've had many holidays in the food. And by the grace of God, this will be, I was trying to do the math. This will be my third holiday this time around, not in the food. And I do want to show a couple pictures though. So let me just share my screen. I feel like it's really helpful to see pictures, and hopefully y'all can see that. Just a nod that you can, my screen is sharing. Okay. So I wanted to show this picture. I have two pictures side by side, which really is a depiction of me prior to my relapse. First day of college, I went back to school, career change. Totally happy representing. There's my grandson. Everything's great. And then life got really busy. The picture on the right is same grandson and me the day I graduated. Okay. And I think it's important to show them, the physical manifestation of this disease, because oftentimes when I was in relapse and I was listening to speakers, like, oh, they don't understand my disease, they don't get it. And so I think it's really important to show this woman on the right was so uncomfortable. I could barely walk down the street. I was having all kinds of physical issues because being in my mid-50s at 250 pounds is very different than being in my 20s or my 30s at 250 pounds. And then I want to plug the OA birthday party. If you haven't signed up and you're not planning on going, please do, because that's a picture of me and some of the amazing fellowship that I've built in this program. I've walked with these two women for like 8 or 9 years in OA. This is me meeting a sponsee for the first time last week. She lives in Michigan. She was in San Diego for business, and we met halfway and we had coffee together. And it was the most amazing experience. Like, I want to cry even thinking, because it was just like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then this is my beautiful sponsor, Janet, who God used in his search and rescue mission to pull me from the gates of hell, because that's exactly where I was. And by the way, I met Janet at an OA birthday party on Zoom. I was in relapse. I don't even know why I logged on. I was on Facebook, OA birthday party. I never miss it. It was in the time of COVID. The little voice said, "What do you have to lose?" And I heard Janet tell her story. And I heard her talk about, you can have all the desire in the world and not the needed power. And I heard her. I literally was, the camera was off. I was binging crumbs all over my laptop, dropped the food out of my mouth, and she caught my eye. God used her to reach me. And oftentimes for me, God talks to me through other people. And then this is me and two of my daughters and that same grandson. This was just this last September on his birthday. And then I wanted to show this because as we're talking about the holidays, this is me, my brother, and my mother. And when I was in relapse, I had a resentment against my brother and I cut off all ties. I wouldn't talk to him. I wouldn't talk to his family. I disappeared. And this was this last Christmas. And you can see he wanted to take this picture of me. And he want like we went to his house for the holidays and we're repairing this relationship. And I just wanted to show that, and I'll stop sharing, because that those are just some of the miracles of recovery. Just a small portion of the miracles that can happen. And I want to talk about I want to talk for a minute about what it was like to be in the food during the holidays. Okay. I would sit at the table with everyone around me. Someone would say something. Janet talked about that resentment, right? Someone looked at me the wrong way. Someone said something the wrong way. I started to get pissed off. How dare they? What are they trying to say? No one likes me. And I would excuse myself, go in the kitchen and shove food in my mouth, right? One of my favorite holiday stories is we had our family over and nothing was open. Everyone left. Nothing was open except Walmart. I disappeared. I drove to Walmart. I picked up all kinds of binge foods. Like, my husband's looking for me, like, where is my wife? I'm sitting in the parking lot shoving food in my mouth because I'm not the kind of person. Like, I won't eat in front of people. People are looking at me like, why are you gaining so much weight? I never see you eat. I'm not that person, right? I wait until everyone leaves, or I go to the store, I sit in the parking lot, and I'm shoving food in my mouth. So yeah, I'm doing the walk of shame in Walmart, filling my cart, and then binging after dinner. Or I'll offer to do the dishes, so I can run into the kitchen and shove more food in my mouth, or I'm eating food off of other people's plates as I'm doing the dishes, right? And then when everyone goes home, I'm up all night eating all of the leftovers because we always host Thanksgiving. I'm eating all of the leftovers all night, again, against my will. And so I want to just share what it was like for me, those holidays and the food, because it's such a stark difference today, right? I'm not scared going into this holiday season. I have no fear that, oh my God, what if someone brings this, or what if someone offers me this, or like, God has removed this fear and God has removed the obsession. And I think it's important to talk for a minute about that. So even going into this holiday season, I have to know who I am and who I'm not. I have to truly believe in my heart of hearts that I am a compulsive overeater and that I can never control and enjoy certain foods, or for me, quantity. It's, I have tried. I've tried, like Fen-Phen. I have tried, gosh, for people who are old like me, Dexedrine and AIDS can, like I, every diet, even in OA, I have tried every faction of OA. I have meeting hopped, sponsor hopped, food plan hopped, whatever. I have tried and I cannot control and enjoy what I eat. And it talks about that and the doctor's opinion. I have to know that I am a distinct entity. So when I'm sitting at that table and I'm putting food on the table, that is not mine, I am sure in my heart of hearts that I don't want, like that food is dangerous for me, right? And I love to watch them enjoy it. One of my favorite things right now is to make my grandson, he loves, I don't want to talk about specific foods, but I get to make him a treat sometimes after dinner and I love to watch him eat it. And if I get anything on my fingers, I don't like the sticky feeling and I have to go wash my hands, right? That was not done by me. That was done by God. So I have to know who I am and who I'm not, and that I'm powerless over this food problem, and that the only solution is this God bigger and greater than me that can stand between me and the food. And Janet talked about that. I just have to believe, maybe, just maybe, God can restore me to sanity in step two. And I was told early on, once you get to step two, Stephanie, you're going to start to feel that power. And I was bankrupt emotionally, physically. I didn't even know if I could believe that. What do you mean when I get to step two, when I start to feel the power? And that was precisely what happened. The obsession was lifted and it has not come back one day at a time, right? So I'm going into this holiday season without the fear. And then I want to read something out of the big book, and I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because on page 100 and working with others, they talk about in the bottom of the page, excuse me, assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things alcoholics, or for us, compulsive overeaters, are not supposed to do. And they're really talking about, that ability to go anywhere and to do anything right today without the fear of picking up. And on page 101, it says in the, let's see, the one, two, the third paragraph. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking, or for us, compulsive overeating, if we have a legitimate reason for being there, right? And I know through the holidays, I have a legitimate reason to be at that Thanksgiving table if my family is coming to me, or to spend time with my family, right? However, if I am going in looking for vicarious thrills, right? Or to get a hit off of, like if I'm not spiritually fit, I'm not able to do this. I'm just not, right? And you're probably saying, well, wait, your family's, like we have to be with family. And I think there are certain times that we do, but I always have to check my motives, right? And they ask a question, have I any good social, business, or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure from the atmosphere of such places? Right? And then at the end of that paragraph, they say, do not think of what you will get out of the occasion, think of what you can bring to it. And that gives me very specific instructions. If I need to be at this family function, then I need to look at what I can bring, how I can be of service, right? Versus looking at what I can take. Because I was that person sitting at the table. If people didn't pay attention to me, if my daughters were laughing about something and I didn't know what they were laughing about, or if they were spending more time with my mother than with me, oh my God, they don't love me. How dare they? I was like a continual oozing of self-pity. And selfishness, and I laugh about it now. It's embarrassing, and it was my reality, right? And, but if you're shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic or for us, compulsive overeater instead. And I'm able to do this in a recovered state. But what about someone who's newly abstinent or struggling to get out of the food, right? Because that was me during the holidays at times also. I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat. Oh my God, I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat. And I meant it every time I said that. I meant I don't want to eat. God, please help me. But here's the thing. Like Janet said, at the end of the doctor's opinion, they give us some advice. I earnestly advise every alcoholic or for us compulsive overeater to read this book through and through, and perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. And prayer does activate the miracle. It does. However, I prayed shoving food in my mouth. Please stop me, God. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this as I'm shoving food in my mouth. And God never took the food out of my mouth. I heard a speaker say, prayer without action is begging. And I wrote that in my book because prayer activates the miracle, but I need to be willing to go to any lengths to take action, to do what, for me, it was with my sponsor, whatever she told me to do because I didn't want what I had anymore. I have to be willing to follow the direction of another compulsive overeater, especially if I can't feel the connection with God yet. Right? And all 12 of these steps, the whole purpose of these 12 steps is to find the power that I don't have. I am devoid of power. Okay? I just am. I grew up thinking I'm so smart I think, I was a single mom. I raised three daughters. I built a successful career. I bought my own home. I didn't need anyone, right? And I was so unhappy. And what no one knew is, I would go home, put my kids to sleep, and I would binge every night, right? But on the outside, everything looked great. Well, until I would gain weight again, and then people would be like, "What's wrong with her?" But on the inside, I was spiritually bankrupt. And so these steps, like I see, and I think Janet talked about steps three and four. So I don't want to, I really do want to spend time talking about, so what do we do? Newly abstinent, struggling to get out of the food. How do you get through this holiday season? And I couldn't hear God in the beginning. I just couldn't. I couldn't. I was angry at God. I thought God had put the food back in my mouth. I thought God had taken my recovery. I thought God had put 110 pounds on me and made my life hell. Like I said, I was oozing in self-pity, right? And when I came to believe, what that was not the case. But until I could get there through working the steps, I had to connect with people. And God spoke to me through those people, right? So that, the tools are not the program. Oftentimes I hear people say, I just gotta work the tools. I heard it earlier today. I just have to work the tools. And if I could just work the tools, I can stay abstinent. Well, I wish that were the case. If I could just like commit my food and eat an abstinent food plan and make a call. They help me. I've heard it like the tools are the handrails of the steps. Until I can get that connection with God, there are specific things that I can do that help me stay connected with people who bring me back to God. And God speaks to me through those people. Right. And so one of the things I thought of when I was preparing for this is, well, there's marathon meetings on holidays. There's marathon meetings all day on Thanksgiving and typically during Christmas. And what a great way to connect with people and to be honest and say, I'm struggling, I need some help, and to gain support and to put your hand out if you're recovered or if you're struggling to get help. So I think there are some great tools like marathon meetings. But I think that the number one thing is I have to have a plan. I have to have a plan of how I'm going to get through that day. And I have to work with my sponsor on a plan. So that means here's what I'm going to eat. Here's how much I'm going to eat. Here's, even here's who I'm going to call. Here's how I'm going to start my day. Here's what my prayer and meditation is going to look like. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to have these people set up to talk to if I'm having food thoughts. I can text, I can call, I can bookend my meal, I can talk to someone before or after. And there have been times where I was struggling to the point where I had to bring my own food. And I think that's okay too. I think it's okay, especially if it's new abstinence, right? I had to protect that newfound abstinence, like my life depended on it, because it did. And I think that, also, I think the number one most important thing is prayer throughout the day. It's like waking up in the morning, God, use me today. Show me how I can be of service to you and these people and every single person I'm going to come into contact with today. Show me who you would have me be. And if I have to separate myself because I'm starting to, have a food thought, the first thing I need to do is if I maybe go in the bathroom, get on my knees, pray and ask God for help, right? Because I know today God will provide me with the power because I don't have the power. I'm not a white knuckler, you guys. I have never been a white knuckler. That is just not me. Like, it's either I'm in it or I'm out of it, and Bill talks about looking for ways to be of service on pages 14 and 15. Because here's the thing, I would sit at that table, and again, I'm getting pissed off at people, and why aren't they talking to me, and why aren't they doing for me? And today I know I can go sit at that same table with those same people. How can I help? Can I ask, my nephew, what's going on in your life? How are things? How are your parents? How are you feeling? Right? Can I take the dishes away from the table, which today I'm not going to go do that because I want to eat, but can I clear the table? Can I get someone a napkin? Can I redirect when I'm feeling, uncomfortable? I scan the table. Who can I help? Who can I be of service to? How can I bring, right? And if I can't figure it out, and I pray, God always shows me who to help. And God always shows me who God would have me be. Right? And on page 14 in Bill's story, he talks about that. Because here's the deal. Bill struggled with depression, anxiety, Bill struggled. Bill didn't get sober and life was rainbows and unicorns and he was happy go lucky all the time. But what he tells us on the bottom of page 14, he says, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others. So I need this God. I've got to connect with this God. I've got to, be in constant contact and communion with this God. And I have to grow this relationship, and it tells me how, through work and self-sacrifice for others. So that means that, my sponsor told me early on, service isn't always convenient, and that's the self-sacrifice part of it. But I have to look for ways, and I can be, have one day of abstinence and look for ways to be of service and self-sacrifice for other people, right? Maybe I start eating my plate last because other people need things. Maybe my mother needs me to cut her meat. She's 85 and she struggles, so I have to help get her settled. I have to help get my grandson settled. And that's a way I can be of use and I can be of service, right? And it says after that, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. I can't think of, well, I can think of trials that are worse. But sometimes sitting at a table with family for a holiday meal can be an example of certain trials and low spots, right? Depending. It can be. So I've got to look for ways to get out of myself, and I've got to look for ways to help and be there for other people, right? And so, those are really the things that I came up with. The first one is, am I looking for vicarious pleasure to be somewhere? I really have to check myself, and am I in fit spiritual condition? And that's not just with the holidays, but that's with, whether there's an event, right? Am I in fit spiritual condition? Does God want me to go so that I can be of service, so that God can use me? Because God will always protect me. It tells us that in step 10, I get to be returned back to sanity, and that has been my experience. So is there good reason to be there? And then have a plan, right? Work with my sponsor on what that's going to look like, specifically what I'm going to eat. What am I going to bring my food? Am I going to eat there? Am I bringing a skit? Like, what is that going to look like? And if I'm on really shaky ground, and I've done this before, eat before, and I just join everyone for the meal, right? Have people set up to talk to before and after, bookend it, have them ready to call if I'm feeling uncomfortable, right? And ask God for God's protection. Because here's, and I want to finish with this because I think I'm about out of time. I want to finish with the 10th step promises, because it's my favorite. And this is as a result of working the first 9 steps. So maybe I'm kind of skipping around a little bit, but I want to share this because this has been my experience of working these steps. And this is the miracle that God has done for me. And I also, before I say that, read this, I want to say, I would sit in these rooms on meetings like this, in person or on Zoom, and I wouldn't believe that this miracle was available to me anymore. One of the lies that I told myself is, I've exhausted all my recoveries. It doesn't work. The 12 steps just don't work. Well, the 12 steps do work to connect me with this power that I desperately need. The problem was, I wasn't following the specific directions to work these steps, or I wasn't willing to go to any lengths and follow a sponsor's direction, right? I wasn't willing to go to any lengths. I was still holding on. So, as a result of working these steps and connecting to this amazing miracle-making God of my understanding, it says, we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, or for us, compulsive overeating. For by this time, sanity will have returned. And that is my experience. For today, one day at a time, sanity around the food has returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we find that this has happened automatically, right? I can't make this happen. I can use my will to work these steps and follow direction, right? But God does this for me. God lifted this obsession. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor, for us, food, has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. This is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. But wait a second. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So I have to keep working to, connect and enlarge the spiritual connection. And I just want to say, and my sponsor says this, the age of miracles are here. This miracle is available to everyone. And thank you so much for letting me come hang out with you guys. And with that, I will pass.